Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Wednesday, the 14th of September, midweek madness. We've made it to the proverbial top of the hill of hump day, but remains to be seen whether it's a good top of the hill, whether we're going up, whether we're going down, whether we're going left or right. But I'm Jimmy Moyaha, your host this morning, filling in for Simon Brown this week. On the show today, we're chatting with Kiarabilo and Nonyana, looking at Metrophile and ARC updates. We're chatting to Johan Erasmus, director at One Invest, about their latest ETF. And we're also going to be chatting with Raj Nana, the CFO of Attack, around their latest results. The show is proudly brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to chat to one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines this morning. We may be in for another fuel price cut in the new month, but that's no good news if Eskom is still on the brink of outages again. On the global front of things, Asian stocks were down, US stocks were down. US inflation print yesterday came in even higher than anticipated, which is never a good sign for us. And China looks to be reaping some windfall as the West shuns the Russian supplies. So China and Russia are back at it again. Update on the markets at the moment. Rand off the back of that inflation print in the US back above 17 Rand, sitting at 17 Rand 40 or so. Oil sitting at around $92 a barrel and gold sitting at $1,700 an ounce. We are expecting a red open on top 40 this morning following 10 cent losses just off the back of what happened in the US and what happened with Asian stocks.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Jumping into it with Kia this morning. We've got Metrophile out with some results. Can you give us an indication of what happened there?
Yeah, so, you know, when I started my career in the market, Metrophile was one of those frontier companies because it dealt primarily in digitalizing old documents. And, I mean, over the years, it really has underperformed my expectation, but currently speaking, the Metrophile is still in a strategy reshift, which will see it move into other parts of Africa as well as the Middle East. So on the result itself, I mean, revenue just a short of 1 billion rand, up 5%, EBITDA up 1%. The dividend was down on the year as well as the HEPS was about 30 cents on trading. So overall a flat result. But the management in the outlook statement does speak about lowering margins in order to have a strategy reshift.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the largest impact of those results obviously coming through from that Iron Tree acquisition that we saw. They paid about 66 million rand there, which did increase their net debt. I think it's interesting that they announced a share buyback for the first time since 2018. So like you said earlier, we'll have to see if the stock that was the lackluster performer when you started in your career has done things to improve that and whether that share buyback will go off successfully. Let's chat ARC quickly. The ARM stable, the African Rainbow stable in general, a couple of announcements there. African Rainbow Energy as well coming out with an announcement that they're going ahead with the 200 megawatt projects that they've got with solar. So it looks like they've already got most of that 4 billion rand that they needed to raise for construction and development. DBSA and three of the banks giving them about 3.1. But let's talk ARC. They announced results as well. They announced their intrinsic portfolio value is up. They said that Rain did well for them. Time Bank did well for them. They acquired a Crossfin stake. What happened there throughout the year?
So, I mean, when listening to Johan van Sales, I mean, he did also announce another strategy reshift for African Rainbow Capital in terms of them starting to sell off some of the smaller businesses and put a lot of their energy into the bigger businesses they have in their portfolio. As you said, intrinsic portfolio value up about 11.3% to 13.659 billion. But always with holding companies, Jimmy, what I always worry about is what does the market think about the valuation of a company versus the management's valuation? Because at the end of the day, there's always a big discount to NAV that the market gives on these holding companies. Even though the assets are quite unique, the market always has a big discount to net asset value, which always gives me a bit of a worry. But as you said, all the business and portfolio are really doing well. And the strategy we shift to focus on Rain and Time Bank is really the right one, because those are the cash cows in the portfolio business.
Yeah, no, I take that point. And I mean, just on that strategy reshift as well, we saw that they disposed of about a couple of Afrimatch shares, totaling about 740 million, probably to realign themselves and to shift that business. I mean, we do know that with that Crossfin stake acquisition, Crossfin being based predominantly in the fintech space, so they are sort of shifting the business more towards aligning it with those goals, I guess. Paying 415 million rand to acquire a 37% stake in a business clearly means that you've got some plans for that in future. Final note before I let you go, your thoughts on the US CPI. I mean, CPI print came in at 8.3%. We're now looking at markets pricing in potentially a 1% rate hike. Wall Street was down yesterday. All of the Asian markets are down in early trade this morning. Your thoughts there?
I mean, it was a broad-based sell-off in the U.S. overnight. So, I mean, the market is butt-in pricing at least the 75 basis point hike. And looking at the three-month forward rate agreement, there's a 32% chance of a 1% hike, which really is just shows that the Fed was very behind the curve in terms of inflation. And to be perfectly honest, we are at the entrance of recession, because at the very core of such a big interest rate hikes, you see aggregate demand continuously being beaten, and I think investors should prepare themselves for a stagflationary environment in the US.
There you have it, Gera Willer-Nonyana, independent analyst, telling us that the US Fed may have gotten it wrong once again.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanley Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanley.com/more. Stanley is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Taking a look now at ATTACC Real Estate Investment Trust's results, chatting to their CFO at the moment, Raj Nana. Thank you, Raj, for this early morning start. I suppose you're very happy with the results. I mean, as an accountant, I can identify with just how happy it would make me if I saw the gearing of my balance sheet coming down so much.
Thanks, Jimmy. No, 100%. I think overall, I think a very good set of results for the year ended 30 June 2022. I mean, if you turn back the clock, in December 2020, our gearing was as high as 46.6%, and we're now down to 37.2%. A big focus for the management team over the last sort of 18 months. And, you know, it entailed a disposal program where we sold some of our assets, so we made some difficult decisions. But balance sheet, I think, in a very good position. And in addition to the lowish gearing, sitting very well in terms of liquidity, 1.9 billion rand worth of liquidity. So very pleased with the results.
That's a very comfortable cushion to be sitting on. That's a very nice buffer to be sitting on, especially given your plans around the Cell Seed development that you guys have just completed. On the recapitalization plans that Celsi has, I mean, I know that's now dependent, or those plans are now what holds up your future plans with that. What happens if that doesn't go according to plan? I mean, yeah, you've got that cushion that you mentioned, the 1.9 billion, but what do you then do with your development that you've put into, I think it's about just under 25,000 square meters there?
Yeah, so Celsi was completed a number of years ago, the campus, it's including a warehouse, a walking center, and what we refer to as the collaboration office space. We've already de-risked the campus somewhat. We've relet the warehouse to a third-party tenant for 3 years. And so really, it centers around the walking center and the office space. We have a couple of plans. I mean, the site has additional bulk, so we can repurpose the entire campus for, you know, different purposes. It's got a good power supply, so there's potentially an angle around a data center, etc. So the team's exploring a few things, but I think we're also confident with the recapitalization. It's actually very far down the line. All the creditors have approved it. The lease providers have approved it. I think the only CP that's outstanding now is a SARB approval, which is expected in the next 2 weeks. So we're very confident that that will go through.
Sounds great. I mean, we obviously can't ignore the fact that your distributable income per share is back in line with exactly where you thought it would be about a week ago, declaring a dividend for the first time. I think that's going to make a lot of consumers and a lot of investors very, very happy. You did outline in your results that there were a couple of headwinds, the usual things, inflation, unemployment, low business confidence, the usual things that we've seen sort of happen in South Africa. Does this mean that attacks... strategic alignment is now shifting in terms of your geographical regions and in terms of your setups? I mean, I really like that you guys have the mixed-use sort of structure towards your investments and towards your properties. Does this mean you guys are looking to do this elsewhere in other countries possibly to offset what might happen in South Africa?
Yes, I think what we refer to as mixed-use and retail experience hubs and collaboration hubs has worked really well. And I think what we've experienced in the last 18 months of COVID was the portfolio really, really held up and it was very resilient. So I don't think we're looking to change the current strategy in terms of that, particularly in Waterfall. We're going from strength to strength, and we've completed a number of developments over the last 12 months, including a data center for Vantage phase one. We're looking to kickstart phase two in the first quarter of next year. So, you know, a multitude of uses, but our focus is very much on Waterfall. You know, it's something that we've been busy for over 10 years. It's going to keep us busy for the next 10 years. And there's a lot of momentum. Mall of Africa is absolutely shooting out the lights. Year on year, trading density is growing by almost 19%. And so I think by focusing on the existing retail experience hubs, our regional and super regional shopping centers spread around the country, and Waterfall, we can derive a lot more value than starting a greenfield development elsewhere. So the strategy is working, and I think we're going to stick to it.
You mentioned benefiting from a lot of momentum. I mean, I don't know if I'd call it momentum, because this is steamrolling. You guys completed 1 billion rands worth of developments in Waterfall. I mean, you know, you reported 997, but I mean, let's round it up. It's a billion.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the distributable income from the Waterfall businesses was about 1.5 times more than everything else in the rest of South Africa for you guys. So you call it momentum. This looks more like steamrolling, but we're very happy with this. Very, very positive results. But Raj, thanks very much for your time. That's Raj Nana from Attack talking us through the results that they published. Very positive results for them.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Taking a look now at OneInvest. They came up last week listing a new ETF that is linked to U.S. Treasuries, or short-dated U.S. Treasuries to be more specific. Chatting now with Johan Erasmus, director at OneInvest, around this new ETF that they've listed. From OneInvest side, they've said that it's aimed at offering investors a more differentiated position. Good morning, Johan. Thanks very much for taking the time. What is this new ETF, and why is it better than the others?
Morning, Jimmy. This is our third ETF in our series of new launches, and this ETF is linked to the U.S. government's short-dated treasuries. What that means is effectively two things. It provides our clients with a U.S. dollar money market-like type of investment. To expand a bit on that and how that is important, the one is the U.S. government's credit rating is much higher than the South African current government, which means you're effectively investing in instruments that has probably got some of the highest credit ratings in the world. And then the other benefit that this, so what that means is your cash is very, very safe. And the other thing what it means is as well is you've got a very good diversification against the Rand dollar for some of the clients that want to diversify their assets. Again, as example, if the Rand loses value to the dollar, this ETF will rise in value and vice versa. So it's a good diversification or very safe diversification tool for our clients that want a bit of alternative exposure in their portfolios locally. And the benefit then is you don't have to go through your exchange control approvals and allowances to buy this instrument locally listed on the JSE. So again, it's to save people from doing the administration of getting the exchange control clearances. And then, of course, because it's listed, yeah, you're not subject to CITES tax and all of those benefits. So really something different for our clients to access foreign markets.
Absolutely. And I mean, with the Rand sitting at 17 Rand to the dollar and above, diversification out of that sort of exposure is definitely something that our South Africans need at this stage. I mean, I think what I like most about what you alluded to around the ETF is that given that it is listed on the JSE, it is Rand denominated, which means that investing in it does not take use of your single discretionary allowance or your foreign capital allowances. And therefore, you're able to sort of have USD exposure without the exchange control regulations that you alluded to. Now, obviously, this comes very much, or the timing around this is very perfect, given that yesterday the JSE announced that they'll be listing actively managed ETFs as well in the efforts that collective investment schemes management companies such as yourselves have these sorts of ETFs and have these sorts of products to offer offshore assets to local markets. And I think that the timing of the JSE's announcement, I mean, you guys listed last week, they made this announcement yesterday. Could this be the direction of ETFs in South Africa going forward? Should this be the direction of a lot of investments going forward to sort of get South Africa's markets more in line with global markets, as the JSE has said this is why they're doing it?
Yeah, Jimmy, I think definitely there would be some demand for actively managed ETFs. We saw a couple of months ago that the JSE approved actively managed certificates or colloquially known as AMCs. So you're having this real evolution on the JSE from just pure passive ETFs to smart beta. You've now got AMCs and as you said yesterday, they announced actively managed ETFs. Is it the same as a normal passive ETF? No, not at all. So on the one side, it's again, clients and investors are going to need to educate themselves quite well on what the differences are in that. But then again, there's new opportunities. It's going to change things a bit, and we'll see how this market develops.
Absolutely. And on that positive note of new opportunities, I'd like to thank you, Johan, for your time. That was Johan Erasmus, director at One Invest, chatting to us about their latest ETF listing on the JSE on the 8th of September.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Well, that's it for today from my side. I'm still hoping and crossing fingers for that petrol cut at the start of next month. But just want to say thanks to the MoneyWeb team again for this morning. Thanks to the guests for their early morning contributions. And once again, most importantly, thank you to StanLib for paying our bills. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to chat to one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Be sure to download the podcast every day just after 7 a.m. Or listen live from 6:30 in the morning. I'm Jimmy Moyaha signing out until tomorrow. Look forward to chatting to you then.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.